simply because the topic for the night need to be dealt with because it's something that's prevalent. It's something that goes on. Now, this topic is not just geared towards the streets. This topic is not going to only be geared towards families, but this topic is going to touch probably a lot of people simply because it's something that a lot of people have dealt with, might have felt like they were victims of, and might have even, you know, caught an attitude because of a loved one being a victim of it. You know, y'all on here, y'all know that, you know, for the last 20 years, I'm a church guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been going to church. And, you know, something I feel like I'm not saying I have a PhD. I probably do. And things that's spiritual and stuff like that. But the reality of it is, you know, if you didn't grow up Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu, if you've ever been in church for a long period of time, you've probably heard of the topics of things like church hurt, or, you know, a family member being, you know, hurt by things that go on inside of the four walls of the church. So I feel like, you know, if we're going to do anything, and I mean, this could definitely trample over to the Masjid Khalif if you think that, you know, it would. But, you know, us as spiritual and us as, you know, individuals who have a faith base in our life, I feel like everybody, you know, has dealt with some form of letdown, some form of hurt, some form of some form of, you know, disagreement, we are going to basically deep dive into this, and, you know, like, it's going to be a bumpy ride tonight. My brother Kainif is on here. You know, if y'all can, whoever's on here right now, it's like 8 people, 9 people on here. Whoever's on here, if y'all can, just share this for me. Like I said, you know, I'm not asking, you know, for no money or nothing like that. You know, share this for me because, you know, I know one thing for certain and two things for sure. Somebody going to be mad at me before the night is over. So I'm just, you know, tilt my computer a little bit. Yeah, that's how I want it. So yeah, you know, if you can, what time is it? 6 minutes after. Nephew. like I said, I'm gonna give people, how was y'all day? I'm gonna give y'all about 2 or 3 more minutes. Thank you, Kainif. Thank you, my nephew Quill. Deshelle, share this for me. Whoever's on here, share this for me right now. Share it. I'm going to say some thought-provoking stuff. I'm going to say some stuff that your spiritual advisor might not like. I'm going to say some stuff that's going to be very controversial. You know, we're going to deal with, we're going to put it on the table. We're going to deal with church hurt tonight. We're going to deal with church hurt, and by me studying this, I trample over a new phrase that I'm coining tonight. you know, and, you know, I actually, about 2 hours ago, you know, my older sister asked me what the subject was for the night, and I was going to tell her, but I ended up, I knew that I was like wrestling between two different subjects. And I ended up, after I got off the phone with her, I ended up, it's funny, huh? She ain't here now. Sonya, share this. Tell your mother and them to get on the phone, get on the chat. So when she asked me, you know, what the subject was going to be for the night or the topic, I basically was, I didn't tell her, but I was going to tell her, but I didn't because I was wrestling between two different thoughts. And so tonight, you know, we're going to deal with church hurt and spiritual abuse. You know, I'm they gonna the cancel culture people are gonna be after me tonight. I'm gonna let y'all know now. So y'all better have my back, you know. The cancel, you know, cancel culture is going to be on my heels tonight. And you know what? I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm perfectly fine with it. Mike, what's up, bro? I'm just letting a few more people get on here. We got like we're gonna start at 7:40. I got one more minute. So if you know, for the for like the 10 people that's in here, how was y'all day today? How was y'all day today? You know, how was work? It's Monday. How was, you know, your commutes, stuff like that? Come on, y'all know, let's engage and talk a little bit before I get all the way into it. See, Khalif, that's why, bro, we gotta talk, Khalif. We gotta talk. And Khalif, if you can, you know what I mean? Like if you're saying that you know, certain people can't, you know, see on your in your arena, you know, if you can, man, share this for me, bro. 'Cause you know your reach is long, bro. Share this for me if you can. Okay, Mike. Okay, Mike. Mike about to clock out. My day was great. Just my man, I'm telling you, man, you and your brother doing big things, Kylie. You and your brother doing big things. Y'all definitely got someone that respects y'all from afar. I mean, even though, you know, we kind of almost grew up together, went to school and all that. But yo, real talk, bro. I mean, you and your brother got a lot of, you know, a lot of respect, bro. I wish you well in that endeavor. I wish you well. I'll be watching from the wing. I'll be watching from the sideline, courtside. Hey Royale, share this. Share this, Royale. Share this. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Always been good boys. Always been good dudes. Always been good brothers, man. Much love. Much love. I'm waiting for a Royale. Tell Tenant Council to get on here. I want my mother to be on here tonight. I want a few more people to get on here before I get started. Well, we about to get started. Well, I'm glad everybody, you know. So I don't know if y'all can see, so if y'all saw it in the description, but I mean, it's not the title, but tonight the topic is basically, how do we clear up spiritual mess? You know, it's been a war that I've been seeing going on for the last few years, in the body of Christ. Let me just say that in the church, not just the church. And let me clear this up before I get into this, because I'm not going to do this no more today. I am not talking about anyone in specific. I am not, listen, I have no problem calling anyone's name. I am speaking in generalities because this is not a plate thing that's happening only in one house. This thing is happening vastly across the board. So trust and believe. Do not feel some type of way about this live. If you do and you have my number, you can call me, inbox me. If it don't apply, let it fly. If it don't apply, let it fly. And if it sticks like glue, then it must be you. So, vastly over, you know, the last couple years, in the body of Christ, some mass jigs, you know, I got a lot of Muslim, I have a lot of Muslim homies, different places, different arenas. It seems like some of, not all, some, enough to be noticed, people that has spiritual authority has been using a spiritual authority in the wrong context. And then in conjunction with that, I've seen a lot of leaders, people, and I'm telling you something, leaders are not just the person that's speaking to you on the day of your religious belief. Leaders are people that can be people that belongs to the church, people that have influence in the church, people, I mean, and I'm just saying church because I'm a Christian. Could be in your corporate America settings. People sometimes abuse the power that they were given because it has gone to their head. It has gone to their head. And we have to get to the bottom of this and we had to figure out that how do we clean up this spiritual mess? It should not be a concern or an issue with the fact of the matter of us being believers having to basically, I'm sorry, y'all, somebody is reaching out to me, basically about the live, basically being abused in the spiritual context. There's no reason why it should be that way. It's no reason why people should go through this, these things. Is no reason why we should have to deal with this in our places of faith and in our places of, in our systems of belief. Is no reason why, you know, a lot of people have to deal with the hurt and deal with things that they shouldn't have to. So, you know, we're going to deep dive into this, and I want y'all to basically just sit back, relax, listen. I want y'all to comment, chime in. Y'all know how we do. We engage here, and we're gonna talk. We're gonna get into it. And, you know, we're going to just make it do what it do. So, first we have to basically identify the meaning of church hurt. And we have to identify or define spiritual abuse. So, and if this is you, you can say it in the comments. If you've been through this, if you're going through this, and we're going to get into it. We're going to tackle it tonight. What is the definition? What does church hurt mean? What does church hurt mean? It means the pain sometimes inflicted by religious institutions. May it be in the pew or in the pulpit. Church hurt means the pain sometimes inflicted by religious institutions, may it be in the pew or the pulpit. Right? So we know what church hurt means now. So what does spiritual abuse mean? Spiritual abuse means, today's definition is reformatted and makes it just makes things simpler. It simply means spiritual abuse is a form of emotional and psychological abuse. It is characterized by a systematic pattern of coerced and controlling behavior in a religious context. I'm going to read it again. Spiritual abuse is a form of emotional and psychological abuse. It is characterized by a systematic pattern of coerced and controlling behavior in a religious context. One of the things, you know, like one of the things I've noticed is that, you know, is that there's a lot of weight that's put on people. New believers, people, new converts, people who really don't have any idea of what's really going on in this institution or in this religious situation. And one of the things I've learned is, and I wish I have learned a long time ago, is that you have to solidify a person's beliefs before you can modify a person's behaviors. Now, I came up with that, so I'm going to deep dive into it. You have to solidify. Solidifying means you have to stamp it. You have to make sure that it is solid. You have to make sure that it is basically, you know, the old saying is set in stone. You have to solidify. You have to solidify a person's beliefs. You got to make sure that you know. That you know that it, that the foundations of this person's belief is on solid ground. So after you, before you, so first you got to solidify and make sure that this person is really in this until the end. After you solidify, then you can slowly but surely start to modify. What do you mean by modify? You have to, modifying mean is to start implementing some changes. Meaning that you're starting to implement changes in the way that they do things. Meaning that, you know, a lot of these issues is because people be saved today, and people will come to Christ and try to even learn to understand this thing today. And a person is hovering over them, telling them that, oh, it's a call on your life. And all of this kind of stuff, not knowing that you're putting extra pressure on new sheep. You are putting unwanted pressure on a new convert. And in the times that a person is a new convert, that is the most sensitive time of that person's walk. In the beginning, if you ever, listen, this is not just a church, but see, I am a studier of Malcolm X. Love Malcolm X. Loved him. Or at least I love what I know of him. He was gone before I got it. But if you look, funny, just think about the movie. How Malcolm X got converted. It was a slow process. It was a slow, he didn't, listen, he had his religion, his beliefs had to be solidified. They had to take all that old junk out of them first. Then they had the ability to basically, okay, we solidify his belief. He believes in this thing. He is a firm believer in this thing. Then they started to modify. The brother, I forget his name, the proper name, Brother Bain, whatever his name was. But then he started to take certain, like get him to basically start taking certain things away and started to take certain things, certain, you know, like attributes and ways of living and things like that, that was against this new walk. First, you solidify. When you're in the streets, right? When you are a person that play in them streets and things like that, one of the things, listen, people know my background. One of the things that I went through this process. And one of the things that the big homies and them told me, you got to make sure you're ready for this because you got to stand what you do. See, that's the problem with some of these young dudes. They think that it's just fun and games out there. But see, I had a real big homie that told me that you have to be able to stand what you do when you jump off that curb. And what that person was doing, hey, mom, my mother-in-law is on here. Hey, so before they start letting you rip and run in them streets, they had to make sure you was built for that lifestyle. Even though it doesn't always work. But listen, they had to give you the blueprint and let you know that, listen, you need to solidify that this is what you want to do. Because what comes with it is going to modify your behaviors in the way that you are. So the first thing you have to do, the first thing we have to start taking these moves. There you go. My man, Khalif said, Elijah taught that changing the diet then changed the behavior. That's just real. You gotta change the core thing before you can start in a house. When you are redoing a house, when you are doing things, you have to make sure that's why they do demolitions and stuff like that. Because they have to solidify the foundation of the house first. Because if you're about to come in here and remodel, you're about to start coming in here, it might be some things in here that's faulty that need to get out. It might be some things in here that's jacked up or that's putting this house in danger and the situation at fault. So that's why most of the time if somebody buy an old house, they basically got to gut it and tear it out. You know why? Because they solidifying the foundation. Then they modify it by beautifying it, because that's when you know that you're all the way into this thing. That's how you know after the demolition, that's when you know what it's really going to cost you. Sorry to keep drinking while I'm online, y'all. So one of the issues that I've seen or see a lot and hear a lot, and one of the things we need to learn how to do as people who are considered spiritual, or people that are considered the elders, or people that are considered the one that are more that's more advanced in this walk than I am, is that we have to stop aggravating people's wounds. What are you saying by that? Basically, I've seen it throughout my walk, and I see it not just in religious institutions, but I've seen it in the workplace. I've seen people try to bring up things. When I say aggravating the wounds, that's what I'm saying is basically like when you pick at a scab, you know, you're aggravating that old scar. Where you could have just left it alone and let it heal. See, sometimes just because you didn't solidify a person's belief, and then you're starting to modify their behavior, you have to be very careful not to aggravate those old wounds. I had issues. I had some issues before I got saved. I had some major issues. And as the time went on, some of my old wounds started to leak, and some of my old wounds started to get aggravated. And what did I do? Sometimes I acted on them and sometimes I didn't. See, what we got to stop doing is, and I am a firm believer of this, but you know, like I've heard people in position say things like, there is no such thing as church hurt. I've heard people, and listen, it just is what it is at this point. I've heard leaders of walks say it. I've heard elders say it and things like that. And the problem of it is, us as the church, we have to start taking responsibility for a lot of stuff. We have to start taking responsibility for a lot of things. See, the Bible gives us a whole lot of different blueprints. And it's funny because we can't have our pick in this. We can't be out here saying that we're going to live the life of Jesus Christ. And you know, some of us would be okay with being, oh, you know, to be like him is to be crucified and all this. But we really don't want to live that life for real. Because if a person come to you and say that they're dealing with something like church hurt, or they're dealing with a problem that they've dealt with and they've got from the church, one of the first things we need to be saying is, well, how can I help you get over that? How can I help you deal with this situation? Because that should not have happened to you. That should not have taken place in your life, and you should not have had to deal with that. The problem is, see, the problem and the thing is what people fail to realize is church hurt. My sister just said it. Church hurt is one of the worst hurts. You know why? Because when I go to my prayer closet, I got to deal with that hurt. When I'm in the pew, I got to see and deal with where I got that hurt from. And then when I'm leaving the cathedral, when I'm leaving the church, I got to drive home in my own mental prison and deal with that same hurt. Church hurt. Listen, it's people who said that they've been hurt and things have gone on or whatever the case is. And people need to just get it out. Because there's no reason to bury a treasure that you never feel like you're going to go back and get. I digress. We have to stop aggravating people's wounds. Stop it. We have to be able to, and that's where the power of discernment. That's where the power of discernment come in at. Because now, since the pandemic, and I'm going to just keep it a bean, since the pandemic, like, I watch a lot of stuff dealing with the church. I believe, on contrary to popular belief, I actually converse with a lot of churchgoers. People that everybody know, people that somebody don't know. I don't know why I'm personable, so people talk to me. I don't know why. But the fact of the matter is, that one of the things I know for certain is that the church owe a lot of people an apology. Now, I know somebody, listen, I'm sure, you know, I'm not going to be very like that to this, but we're going to do this. You know why? Because any situation I've ever had in my life, any issue I've ever had in my life, any problem I ever had in my life, I had to deal with it head on. And it wasn't until it got dealt with head on that I got over it, or I got through it, or I got away from it, or was able to process it properly. You got to be able to deal with it head on. So, if you don't deal with it head on, if you don't have the audacity and the respect, the spiritual respect, that's where spiritual abuse comes in at. Because now if you don't give a person the proper audience to deal with an issue that they have, then they got to start dealing with it going from church hurt to spiritual abuse. And why is it spiritual abuse? Because now you're starting to affect, you're not just affecting the person's flesh with the hurt. Now, spiritual abuse, you're affecting this person's belief. You're affecting this person's walk with God, because now this thing is getting rooted and grounded, like almost as if it was planted. Always give the proper audience. And why did I say the church owes a lot of people apologies? Is because, Like I said, since 2019, maybe before that, I've heard spiritual people have the audacity to say things like there is no such thing as church hurt. Even though if Jesus only came to save, Jesus came to save the unsaved, the sinner. If you already saved, you can't be saved again. But Jesus' purpose is not just for the world, but also for the church. Correct? So, Jesus' purpose is for the church. Being as though that we're already saved, his purpose was to heal us. Hey, let me know if I'm wrong. It's too much arrogance floating around in the body of Christ. Angelica, I know a lot of people that have switched religions because of church hurt. I do too. I'm talking about, I know a handful of grown men that are Muslims and was raised 20 to 30 years as a Christian. We got to stop saying, hold on, my mother-in-law here, the doctor, she said, when you say church hurt, are you saying the leader or members? I think whoever did the hurt should apologize, son. Very true. So leaders have been hurt just like members. Very true, Mom. So she got here a few minutes late. So, Mom, I'm going to give you the working definition for this. I'm going to give you the working definition for both so that you can understand. So contextually and scripturally, you'll know what the definitions are and you'll have a better understanding. Church hurt means, and I'm going to go through this fast just so that so Dr. Pugh can understand what's going on here. Church hurt means the pain that's sometimes afflicted by religious institutions, be it from the pew or from the pulpit. It go both ways, Ma. From the pew or to the pulpit, right? That's church hurt. That's the definition of church hurt. And it's Googleable. We can Google it. We can Google these things and look at spiritual institution definitions for these things. That's where I got the information from. Spiritual abuse, Mom. This is what's really the core of the thing. Spiritual abuse is a form of emotional and psychological abuse. It is characterized by a systematic pattern of coerced and controlling behavior in a religious context. I'm going to go even further. Spiritual abuse can have a deeply damaging impact on those who experience it. Spiritual abuse is way worse than church hurt. Someone can call me fat. It might hurt my feelings, but I won't feel abused about it. It may mentally mess with me for a little bit, but I won't feel abused. It won't leave inner scars on me. But see, the church hurt is the seed that's planted. And we have to be very careful, us as believers, that if we implement any form of church hurt, if we don't check it quickly and stop hiding behind, see, we can't hide behind the fact that the church hurt comes from, we can't hide behind the fact that the church hurt happens in the pew and in the pulpit. We can't hide behind that. It's a fact. It's factual. But we have to remember, The Bible say he that is spiritual, restore such a one. The Bible say he that is, that's basically saying that, yo, you that's a veteran in this, you help the rookie. Am I right or am I wrong? The veterans in the game, in the streets, corporate America, in the church, should always take the blame simply because one is etiquette. Because when you are the OG in the game, it basically means that these people, this whoever this is coming up behind me or with me, I'm taking them up under the wing. They my responsibility. So when they do something out of order or out of context, put it on me. Oh, that's how I was raised. I can't take a group of young men to the movies and they do something bad and I say, oh, y'all can go here and blame them. No, I'm going to take the rap because they are under my care. So let's move on. And the fact of the matter is, we definitely have to be careful because all leaders are not out to hurt people. Now, this is what I need us in the pew to understand. That we made a obligation. We made, this is where it's going to get real at. When we are in a pew, we make an obligation to the leadership to hold them accountable and not to let the roots grow. Because, see, I can't allow something to go on and go on without addressing it. Because now I'm giving you too much power over me. I'm telling you, I've heard people tell me that leaders have said demeaning things to them. And say it and like yeah, I said it. Demeaning and hurtful things. I put a post up yesterday and said, you know, what we gotta realize is when you get up on that high horse, oh trust me, it's a long way to the ground when you fall off of it. It's a long way to the ground. And see, what we have to, the problem is we can't hide behind the spiritual things of Jesus Christ. Because when we try to put on that cloak, see, we need to just operate as the church. But when people start to operate and act like they are Jesus Christ, then that's when a different standard comes over our lives. And I'm talking about the members or the pastor. See, if a pastor start operating thinking that they Jesus Christ, then they have to be prepared to be crucified just like them. So I'm going to slow up. I got a comment right here. My mother saw that's our obligation. All right. Angelique said, so church hurt doesn't really become hurt until you express how you feel. Then you get rebuked and ignored and then manipulated to make it seem like you're wrong or you feel that way. 'Cause you in sin, we understand nobody is perfect and we all make mistakes. But fixing the problem is where church hurt comes into play when it's not addressed correctly. So what we have to understand, or at least what I believe, Angelique, is that, and this is why I am a subscriber of, when in the church, and listen, this is free. I'm giving this up for free. When in the church, everyone should be treated exactly the same. Everybody should be treated exactly the same. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. In the church, everyone should be treated exactly the same simply because it cuts down the emotional strife between them over there and them over here. Because if 10 different situations happen in the church, and the reverend or pastor or the leader handles everyone's situation with the same empathy and the same rod of correction, then nobody can say anything because everyone was dealt the same lashes. I'm not aspiring to be, I'm totally not. If I was a pastor, and this is not nothing against nobody or anybody, but if I was a pastor, everybody is going to get treated exactly the same. Because I refuse to have your members talking about me because you expressed that I hurt you simply because I treated brother so-and-so differently than sister so-and-so. I know grace works differently. But see, me, I believe that God is the author and the giver of grace. Well, Jesus Christ. And we're the only one he's the only one that can affectionately give it without someone else feeling some type of way. How do you say that? How is it that everyone isn't rich, but some are? How is it that this person got shot dead in the brain and lived, but that person got shot in the foot and died? See, when we start trying to operate like God or like Jesus, because we're trying to fulfill this obligation to people, we set ourselves up for long-term failure. And like I said, I'm talking in generality. I'm not talking about near not a person. But I have been seeing on all types of platforms where these some spiritual people, leaders in the body of Christ, is saying things like, oh, church hurt is not real. Well, how is it not real and so many people are dealing with it? Like, explain that to me. See, we're so busy trying to deflect. We're so busy trying to block blows and stuff like that, that we don't know that we deal a worser. We're amplifying that same hurt. Because I love you to death, but you can't even acknowledge that I'm going through this. It's my Royale said, or went back to what we were saying about, you know, with some of these pastors and things, like different people saying, I don't want to just use that word because it's deeper than that. But she said, or when they try to make like you're not in good standing with God because of your action. Now that is totally spiritual manipulation. Spiritual manipulation. And that's just a fact. That's just a fact. It happens. It exists. And we have to learn how to cut that out. The body of Christ could be so much more simple if we operated in it simply the way God said. Or the way Jesus said. Whoever one you want to go with. So, now this is where you have to differentiate. And I don't know who on here is dealing with what, or somebody with them dealing with something, but this is a question you have to ask yourself. Am I dealing with church hurt? Because church hurt is an easy fix, believe it or not. It hurt it, but you can get over that. But spiritual abuse is deeply rooted. And that's going to take some time. And this is what we have to understand, people. We have to understand is that the church, not the pastor, we have to understand that it's the church's job. No, I'm sorry. It's not the church's job to be perfect. But it is the church's job to be transparent. It's not the church's job to be perfect. It's the church's job to be transparent. And this question is definitely going to get me in trouble. This next question I got. And like I said, I'm going to keep prefacing this because when I have these conversations, I don't want to keep being like, oh, I'm not talking about nobody. Oh, I'm not talking about nobody or whatever the case is. Because then it's going to make it seem like I'm talking about somebody, right? But believe it or not, if I want to air you out, that's what I'll do. But see, I'm going to keep my integrity and be a gentleman about things and just let it be what it is. You understand what I'm saying? But when we deal with these things, we and this is something we have to ask ourselves. Now, this ain't me trying to start a revolt, or this is not me trying to get people to start looking at leaders and people in the church differently. But I'm gonna get to you, Kainish. No matter of fact, before we move on to the next question, let me deal with a couple of these comments. Nicole Casper says, so when we are talking about church hurt and abuse, how much accountability to we take on for giving them that much power over us? A lot of the hurt comes from us really loving ourselves and not knowing our own worth. So see, in that instance, I would definitely say, that in a situation like that, and we listen, this is true. You have to, and this is how I feel, and this is how I walk through my walk, my spiritual walk, or whatever. I always say this to everybody. There's always three sides to a story. Your side, they side, and the truth. Human nature is always going to make you see things from your point of view. Human nature is always going to make them see it from their point of view. The truth is what lies somewhere in the middle. Not saying you're lying, not saying they're lying. Not saying it's your fault, not saying it's their fault. But we have to realize that, I'm sorry, and I'm saying this in the most respectful way, that we have to understand that just because this is the vessel that God is allowing to speak into my life, really don't mean, now listen, it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to give over power to this individual. See, the fact of the matter is we're supposed to, and pastors, and I believe we are supposed to just take, a pastor is supposed to be the representation of God, not God. the representation of God, but not God. We have to understand that simple is, listen, it's simple. It's like almost like simple math. No one, only God, you're supposed to follow God. And that God will give you someone that helps you to follow him. All right, my brother Kani said, what if you're dealing with both? Now, Kani, I feel like, I personally feel like, from the definitions, if you will, they are, all right, I would say church hurt would be, and I'm just talking layman's terms because you're my brother and I can talk that way. I would say church hurt is the baby brother of spiritual abuse. Church hurt is the spiritual brother. I'm sorry. Church hurt is the baby brother to what spiritual abuse would be. See, church hurt is where it starts. And if we keep allowing church hurt to happen, if we keep allowing someone to, if we feel like somebody is being manipulated or someone is just basically acting like, oh, it's my way or the highway or what I say is law and what you think is not, then we have to basically, I personally would say, and you know, I'm sure some people in the world have done it. Some people probably are going through it. Some people probably have gone through it. But if you feel like, there you go, Kanye, follow them as they follow Christ. See, the fact of the matter is, and I'm gonna say this, but the reality of it is, nobody belongs to nobody but Jesus Christ. And this is why I'm telling you, this is why I feel like God has been giving me this platform to tear down some of these systems. Because the reality of it is, we have pastors that are being hurt, and we have members that are being hurt. That's what I'm saying. So the fact of the matter is, you know, if we kept everything black and white, the way that it really was set up to be, the way that things are really, see, the reality of it is, like in Tasha, I think Tasha said it earlier, or whatever the case is, if we know our value, some of this stuff wouldn't even be happening. Some of this, see, the fact of the matter is, what we have to do is, we have to know our value, because the reality of it is, remember, Reverend, you're just a man. You're just a woman. I'm following God through you. And the fact of the matter is, once you feel like that is that line has been crossed, or something has been lost in translation, then sometimes we have to just basically part ways. But see, the reality of it is, just because you decide to go, and listen, I'm a firm believer of when you listen, if you feel like you got to go, then go in respect. There's no reason to leave a place and to talk about the place as if you're the one salty because you're gone, like you got kicked out. No. See, the fact of the matter is, the person that I believe or I would respect more is the person that leave right. Listen, leave and cleave to the new spiritual journey that's upon you. There is no reason, because you know what happens is, when we stay places somewhere, when you plant a seed somewhere, when you plant a seed in soil, and you allow that seed to grow, and whatever grew out of the ground, or whatever the case is, whatever has come out of the ground, listen, once the harvest has grown out of the dirt, those roots are dead. That means once the farmer takes that thing out or whatever the case is, that thing that was in the ground is done. Absolutely, Ma. My mother-in-law said, I've been saying that for years. Follow me as I follow Christ. And the fact of the matter is, and this is, I'm glad she just said that. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to get to your last comment, Connie. So as my mother-in-law said that, you know, and I was getting to my next question, we have to realize this. Leaders, members, and the world got to realize, not the world, people in the church, we have to realize this fact. Because I've seen it, not in my close personal life, not with people on here, but I've seen it. I've heard people with prominent ministries even say that they've heard of it. We have to ask ourselves this question because things are starting to get out of control. And we have to ask ourselves this question. And this is what I'm saying this with all due respect. But the reality of it is we have to ask ourselves, do some pastors think they are pastoring dumb people? I want that to sink in because that is a very valid. I'm telling you, this is important now. I've heard testimonies of people telling me that their pastor had talked to them, belittled them, spoke to them in any kind of raggedy old way. And I just had to find out, like, what gives you the audacity, Reverend? What gives you the unmitigated gall to basically talk to somebody as if you're not a person that has a yoke on them? You know, where's the collar? Where's the yoke? And the problem is, the issue is, and this is a reality. The problem is, it's a shame, and I would never want to see it happen. But see, some people belittle or talk down to someone because they feel like they're under the same protection that they once were. But see, in this generation that's coming up, they don't live under that same rule in context that, oh, you got to respect the man and woman. See, that's figuratively. Yeah, I'm going to respect them for the office that they hold. But this generation, I'm telling you, this generation is different. This generation will say, hey, meet me outside. Meet me in the parking lot. Because you ain't going to talk to me or mine's like that. And the fact of the matter is, they know that your deacons and them can't fight. I'm just saying. I'm making light of it, but the reality of it is, they know. Very true, Kanif. I'm going back to read a few things. That part. But most people come to church lost and weak, looking for direction. Very true. And the house of God is the one place that they should be able to come and find that. I truly believe, and I said this a while ago, but the reality of it is, I truly believe, and this is my opinion. I truly believe that COVID-19 shut the churches down because God was saying it is time for my new generation of leaders to take over. Not saying that people are trying to take over people's churches or any of that. No. It's time for all your hard work, all the work that God and leaders have put into people. It's time for that work to go out into the world. How can the Bible verse ever become true when the Bible says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh? Your son and your daughter should dream dreams, prophesy. Y'all know the scripture. We can't, that's never going to happen.